Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show broadcast. Thanks to the good people at the Infinity Sports Network, of which I am one of them. Carlos Ortiz alongside. You can get aboard. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Florida beat Houston last night, 65-63, in the men's national championship game. I say it now because I don't know if I will bring it up again. It was a good game. It was a good Final Four. It was a great finish. But I think that's one of those things we just, like, we had a really good meal and then we just, you know, you never talk about it again. Maybe years from now we'll be like, what was that place that we went to? We had that I had that steak sandwich. It was really good. Oh, yeah. Florida beating Houston. I remember that. That was fun. I think we pretty much talked about it last night. And also, we've got bigger fish to fry in terms of Michael Malone getting fired from the Denver Nuggets. Now, I want to tell you something about when coaches get fired this late in the season. In any sport, it's because they're not doing well, and the team just decides to take the Band-Aid off now instead of waiting. It's inevitable. You're going to do it. We've seen interim coaches all the time. We've seen interim managers all the time. There's nothing crazy about it. It's actually happened this late in the season before where a coach has been fired in the NBA. Hubie Brown, the great Hubie Brown, he was fired as the coach of the Hawks in 1981. They had a 31-48 record. They had three games left. But they were out of it. And the writing was on the wall. They fired Hubie Brown and moved on. The Denver Nuggets are not out of it by any means. Now, they've been on a little bit of a tough stretch, losing four in a row, and there's been some really questionable losses in there. There's been some questionable play from Russell Westbrook, and he was not very talkative the other night. They have lost four in a row, but the losing ways kind of go back a little bit further. They had a nice winning streak in February, 9-game streak, and then they've been losing more than they've been winning. So they're at 47-32, losing Sunday to Indiana. They've got Sacramento on the road tomorrow night, but they are right now fourth in the West. Now, the West is very bunched up, so a lot of these teams that are 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th, they can all finish 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th, and there is a separation mark there being 6 and 7, because if you're top 6, you're guaranteed a 7-game series. If you're 7 or 8, you got to go through the rigmarole of the play-in tournament. So, the point being, this is stunning. And a lot of people in the NBA were saying the same kind of thing, that this is a season where we saw Luka Doncic get traded from the Mavericks to the Lakers for a package that was underwhelming. And unless it reaches that level, the word stunning or shocking can never quite come out of their mouth again, because they used it there and it pales in comparison. But this is, you know, pretty much a shock. Now, if you listen to people out of Denver or listen to people that cover the NBA, I've been just like downloading information, which we can relay and tell you kind of why it happened. Basically, the front office and the coaching staff were tribalistic on each other, not working together. And with the losses that have been happening, it's been building up to where they wanted to change, and they want to change now because they feel like perhaps something is salvageable. But this is shocking. It is shocking, and what's more shocking about it is that this sort of thing has happened now twice in 2 weeks. Where a couple of weeks ago, the Memphis Grizzlies fired Taylor Jenkins, their head coach. The Grizzlies have been a top 3-4 team all season. Right now, they're eighth. But when I say the Nuggets are fourth and the Grizzlies are eighth, there's a half game that's separating them. The Nuggets are 47-32. The Grizzlies are 46-32. So it's that meme, like, if I had a nickel for every time a coach with a winning record got fired this late in the season, I'd have two nickels. But it is weird that it's happened twice. Especially with the Nuggets, who have won a championship with this man fairly recently, and he departs them as their all-time winningest coach. So this was a shocking move, to be sure. Not something that we had expected. David Adelman, one of the assistant coaches who is well-liked, at least by the players, he's going to take over as the interim coach. So that's the what. What is the why? Well, we heard today from son of Stan Kroenke, Josh Kroenke. Now, the Kroenke family owns a lot of different things. They own, let me just read you the first two paragraphs of Stan Kroenke's Wikipedia. And then you will like faint at the amount of money that must pass through this family's home. Stan Kroenke is an American billionaire businessman. He is the owner of Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, which is the holding company of Arsenal FC of the Premier League and Arsenal WFC of the Women's Super League. The Los Angeles Rams, the Denver Nuggets, the Colorado Avalanche, the Colorado Rapids, the Lacrosse League's Colorado Mammoth, the LA Gladiators of the Overwatch League, and the Los Angeles Gorillas of the Call of Duty League. The Nuggets and Avalanche franchises are held in the name of his wife, Ann Walton Kroenke, to evade NFL rules that forbid a team owner from having teams in other markets. Ann, part of the Walton family, is the daughter of Walmart co-founder James Bud Walton. So they own a lot of things. All right. Their son, Josh Kroenke, the heir now to both the Kroenke Sports and Entertainment conglomerate and the Walmart family inheritance, is in charge as the team president of the Denver Nuggets. He is also the team president of the Colorado Avalanche and has a hand in running the other teams as well. So these guys own a lot. So when the decision came down to fire Michael Malone, it was a Kroenke decision. And Josh Kroenke talked to Nuggets.com today about why he fired head coach Michael Malone.
Having observed our group over a very long period of time, you know, what I would say is that, you know, having observed that group over a period of time, there were certain trends that were very worrisome. to me at different points in time. But they would get masked by a few wins here and there. And, you know, in the world of professional sports, when winning and losing is your currency, you know, winning can mask a lot of things.
So that's interesting to take that approach because, as I mentioned, the Nuggets did go on a pretty sizable winning streak back in February, 9 games. Now, the level of competition was not their toughest. This was a winning streak against Philadelphia, Charlotte, New Orleans, Orlando, Phoenix, Portland, Charlotte. Since then, a loss to the Lakers, a win in Indiana. A loss to Milwaukee, a win in Detroit. A loss to Boston, a couple of wins, a loss, a win. And that was split with the Nuggets. At that time, they won in Oklahoma City. Okay, Jokic had a 35-18-8 night, big night. Losing to Minnesota, beating the Lakers. Losing to the Wizards at home, beating the Warriors. A couple more losses, a win, another loss, two more wins. And then now, 4 straight losses. The game where Jokic had 61 points, they go to double overtime. And Westbrook misses a layup and then gets the foul at the other end. That was last Tuesday. Then they lose to San Antonio. I don't believe Nuggets. Jokic. Jokic, that's had to have happened before. I don't believe Jokic played in that one. They lost to the Warriors Friday. And then they lost to Indiana on Sunday. So perhaps the firing was loaded up in the chamber and they just couldn't do it because there were some wins and there wasn't really a nice period to swoop in and justify it. But now in a 4-game losing streak with only 3 games to go before the playoffs, which they will play in. They're playing in the playoffs. They've got Sacramento on the road Wednesday. The game against Memphis on Friday is big because both of those teams are competing and now both of those teams are going with interim coaches. And then at Houston to wrap things up Sunday afternoon. So there's a little bit of an explanation from Josh Kroenke as to why he fired Michael Malone. And he sort of danced into it. But the biggest question is, well, why did you fire him now?
We've lost our last 4 and we're trending towards a direction that I thought would probably be a very near end to our season in the near future. And so all that taken into consideration, wanted to try to figure out a way to potentially squeeze as much juice out of the rest of the season mm-hmm. as possible. And I think that, you know, after talking with my father in recent days, we came to the decision that we were going to be changing these roles at the end of the season. And that, you know, with that thinking in our mind that we know that we're going to be changing these roles at the end of the season, then your mind then turns to, well, what is the best decision for this group right now? And, you know, from that point forward, I think that, you know, I became comfortable with the thinking of, you know, let's try to shake this tree and squeeze as much out of this as we can.
Now, he says roles. Because what I have failed to mention up to this point is that the general manager is also not being retained. That is Calvin Booth. So Calvin Booth has been running this thing for the last couple of years. Tim Connolly was the one who put it together, the championship team. He's been in Minnesota, and he's been giving the Nuggets fits, including in the playoffs last year, and for a little bit, and then here. The game a few nights ago. So Minnesota's been able to take care of Denver with their old GM. And now where Denver's sitting, they're thinking of, we're going to fire these guys anyway. We don't think that they are going to win another championship. If they do, I mean, you would think that Michael Malone would keep his job, Calvin Booth as well. There's some reporting that they were looking to move on from Malone prior, but then he won that championship and then they held on to him. But he's of the notion that these guys, if we're not going to extend them, they're essentially lame ducks. So if we know we're going to get rid of them, why don't we just do it now? And that is something that I've been talking about, specifically in the case of the New York Giants, as we try to figure out what they're going to do in the draft and at quarterback, and eventually they brought in some veterans. But I was of the mindset that if I'm the owner and I've got a general manager and a coach that don't seem to be coaching for anything than their employment and not the overall greater good of the team, like, are these guys going to go out there and say, well, let's just, you know, we can't finish with 3 wins. We got to finish with like 7 or 8. That will save our jobs. But is it better to maybe have another season where you have 3 or 4 wins to then build and obtain some pieces for winning down the road? So I would argue that what they should do with the Giants is move on from Dable and Joe Shane. And I've been saying that. So the Kroenke family essentially is taking that philosophy and doing it now. Because even with this 4-game losing streak, and even with how bad they perceive the culture to be, Kroenke, as he told Nuggets.com, they still think, like, they wouldn't do this if they didn't think there was something that they could salvage.
Yeah, hopes of a spark. I think that there's more to that group than has been accomplished so far. You know, how much more is in that group? I don't think that, you know, I know the answer to that. I don't think anyone knows the answer to that. But I think I have a belief that there's more in that group that can be accomplished. And I look forward to seeing what they can do.
So you're willing here, with 3 games to go, you're willing to fire the coach. You're willing to promote an assistant to the interim. And you're willing to say goodbye to the general manager when you are currently... And things will get shaken up probably tonight, at least in the coming days. You are currently the 4 seed, and you're going to be in a playoff matchup against the Lakers or Clippers or Warriors or Timberwolves or Grizzlies, somebody that you could win. You've got one of the best players in the world. You can win a playoff series and maybe go further than that. And so what the Nuggets ownership group was thinking was, we still have a chance. And rather than just let these guys lame duck to the finish, we know what the outcome's going to be, at least what we think it's going to be. Let's make a change now. Maybe there's a spark. Maybe the problems that we think are here will go away. And maybe we can at least make something out of this, which it probably still will be tough for them and the Grizzlies. I mean, in the West alone, like, the Thunder are elite and the Rockets are playing very well. And I think a lot of people are kind of expecting a pretty decent run from the Lakers and Golden State. And then in the East, you've got the Cavs, and the Celtics continue to impress, where Jason Tatum knocked one down with about 1.3, a 3-point shot to go to overtime. And now the Celtics are going to beat the Knicks, who can't beat anybody. So I don't know that the Nuggets, like, the Lakers probably weren't going to win a championship, but they traded for Luka. They might. The Warriors probably weren't going to win a championship, but they traded for Jimmy Butler. They might. The Nuggets probably weren't going to win a championship, but they fired their coach. I still don't know that I put them in the "they might" category, but I think they think this at least gives them a shot. With 3 games to go in the regular season and the playoffs starting next week. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If this seems familiar in more ways than one, not just the firing of Taylor Jenkins with Memphis, it is. It has become more of a "what have you done for me lately" league than ever before. We'll have details on that and hear from you guys. On the Infinity Sports Network, this is the Bart Winkler Show.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm happy and I'm also upset. I'd be remiss if I did not bring up what the Milwaukee Bucks were up to tonight. They were down, I think it was 95-71. To the Timberwolves, and so I turned the game off to turn on Celtics and Knicks, because I thought, well, I host a national radio show. I need to talk about Celtics-Knicks before I talk about Bucks-Timberwolves. I missed a 23-0 run from Milwaukee.
Whoa.
I missed a 32-3 overall run from Milwaukee. Bobby Portis is back. He's got like 16 points.
I like him.
Oh, that sucks. I mean, I'm happy they came back, but I'm mad that I didn't witness it with thine own eyes. Although I am very, I'm as excited as you can be for a game that I'm not sure how much it matters, but it builds good character going into the postseason. The Bucks and the Nuggets, they've got something in common. Mike Budenholzer won a championship with the Bucks in 2021. He is not the coach of the team anymore. Michael Malone won a championship with the Nuggets in 2023. He is not the coach of the team anymore. In fact, four of the last six NBA coaches to win the finals are no longer with the team they won it with. You got Nick Nurse, he gone from the Raptors. You got Frank Vogel, he gone from the Lakers. They've had a couple different coaches. You got Mike Budenholzer in 21, he gone from Milwaukee. Kerr won it. I don't even know if he feels safe at this point. Then Michael Malone won it. Now he got fired today. And then Joe Mazzulla winning it with the Celtics last year, and they got the big win tonight over the Knicks. So it's a very what have you done for me lately league. I mean, it always has been that to some extent, but if this feels different. This feels different where we've seen it now twice in the last 3 weeks where a coach has a team that is going to go to the playoffs and they get fired. And now we've seen it for the last six seasons, or at least with the champions, where you win a championship, that's not extending your leash at all. Bill Simmons once long ago said, as a fan, if you win a championship, you get a 5-year grace period where you can complain and be upset, but you won a championship. I mean, you got to be happy. And the team can mess around a little bit or make mistakes, but you won your championship. Well, I don't know what the grace period is anymore, because I think Bud was there for a couple of years. Vogel got fired pretty quickly after. Michael Malone made it two more seasons. Just because you win a title, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't assure you like tenure. That doesn't even assure you another contract. It's just like, all right, you won a title. Don't screw up trying to win us another one. And it sounds like the situation with the Nuggets was a front office that was trying to do one thing and a coaching group that was trying to do another. So Michael Malone, Calvin Booth, coach and GM, they've been sort of at odds with the way that the roster was put together and the way that everything was sort of being played out. And the Nuggets were interesting because the Nuggets were a team that they won a title. They had a bunch of veterans. And then, like, year by year, they would lose one of those veterans. So Bruce Brown left. He signed a big deal with Indiana, but they could offer simply more money than Denver could. So I don't know how much you can blame Denver there. Jeff Green was a big role piece. They didn't keep him. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was another guy, a veteran, that they did not keep. Now, he's sort of been struggling with Orlando, but they've been trying to go younger. And not only do they go younger, but then they give guaranteed contracts to some of these younger guys too, which gives them less maneuverability in terms of what they can do if, hey, we need a veteran. Or, hey, we got to mix something up. Can you send one of these guys down and bring in a guy in a 10-day and get a spark? They couldn't do as much of that because these younger guys were locked into these other contracts. And so, you know, they drafted relatively well, but the guys that they were trying to get on the court, Michael Malone wasn't always happy to see get on the court. Jalen Pickett, he's a guy, he's an example of this. The general manager thought that while they were losing these games, Jalen Pickett should have been in the games. But Michael Malone went with Russell Westbrook, and Westbrook's been, you know, there's times where he plays well for them. And then there's also times where it gets a little chaotic. Christian Brown is somebody that they've liked quite a bit. So that's kind of working on both angles. Dario Saric is a guy, veteran, but Booth brought him in and Michael Malone wasn't really a fan. So they're doing different things and they're at odds with each other. And when you get a situation like that, I don't know that it's sustainable. So the Nuggets, best player in the world, if that's what you want to say about Nikola Jokic, you know where I'm going to lie. I'm going to lie with my guy, Giannis. But a potential MVP, once again, in Nikola Jokic. And have they done enough to build around him and to continue to build a team around him that can win championships? Well, it is tough. It is tough. With the second apron and all this kind of stuff that's going on in the NBA today, it is harder than ever to have a roster and then totally build around that guy. It's just tough. It's tougher than it was even when the Nuggets won a championship a couple of years ago. It's just tough. But if you're not on the same page, if your GM is trying to do one thing, like build younger, and your coach is doing another, and all of a sudden he's got his guys and your GM has your guys, then that's not going to work out well. And what the Nuggets ownership thought was, the players themselves are fine. Fine enough. Fine enough to the point where we think that getting rid of both of these guys, we can still salvage something. And we're in a weird spot in the NBA right now where there's not a lot of teams that probably can win the championship. You got some really dominant teams. The Cavs have 63 wins. The Celtics have 58 wins. The Thunder have 64 wins. And then everyone else is in that 46 to 52 range. 45 to 52 range. Are the Knicks, are the Pacers, are the Bucks, are the Pistons, are the Nuggets, are the Grizzlies, are the Timberwolves, are the Clippers? Are they going to win a championship? You might be more bullish on the Rockets or the Lakers, the Warriors. But even still, it's like it's probably going to be the Thunder or the Celtics or the Cavs. But the Nuggets still think that even with their issues, they feel like they can go ahead and make this change and see if something happens. NBA playoff seeding, it is wild. There's a lot of teams up for a lot of spots. Only one spot coming into tonight was settled. The Thunder are the one seed in the West. The rest of the West, pretty wide open. The two seed's either going to be the Rockets or the Lakers. The three seed's either going to be the Rockets or the Lakers, or the Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, Timberwolves, or Grizzlies. All of those teams, minus the Rockets, they'll be the two or three, are going to be the 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in some order, with the Kings and Mavs likely the 9-10 if Phoenix fades away here. The East, the Celtics, I believe, after tonight, still have a chance at the one seed. Now, the Cavs won against the Bulls, so maybe that's been decided. And I think that it has. All right, so tonight, the Cavs did clinch the conference tonight with that win over Chicago, where they gave a lot of guys a rest. So that one is decided now, too. So the one is decided. That would mean the two is decided as well. The Celtics will be the two. The Knicks or Pacers will probably have the three or four. Bucks could have that. And then you had the Pistons in the mix. And then the play-in between the Magic, Hawks, Bulls, and then the Heat at 8, 9, or 10. So still a lot of moving parts here in these final couple of days. And we'll see what happens coming up. And Sunday's going to be a hectic day with everybody playing in the day. We'll see how that all falls into place. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Bulletin Blitz coming up. Marco Belletti coming up right now.
The biggest moments in the games.
No, señor! Los Eagles se van con la victoria!
The biggest voices in sports.
Yankees win! The Yankees win!
The heartbreak.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line!
The celebrations.
Kansas City wins the game 25-22, and the Chiefs' kingdom has started its own history class.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Absolutely. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. We will hit a little quick reset, go back to yesterday. That's Monday evening for everybody, regardless of what time zone you do the math or when it tipped off to when it ended. But Florida beats Houston, number one versus number one in the national title game, 65-63. The Florida Gators become national champions in college basketball. But most importantly, Bart, head coach Todd Golden, he becomes the youngest coach ever to win a title. So here he is talking about that new fact.
I'm just a piece of this puzzle, you know. I've been able to put together an incredible staff and recruit great student athletes over these last 3 years, and you know, we've stayed the course all year and worked really hard. And you know, my best answer is I'm just really proud. You know, I'm proud to be the head coach of Florida. I'm proud of the way our players performed, and I'm proud of the way our staff prepared our guys to become national champions.
Now, I am not John Cena with the golden shovel, so I will tell the audience that what you meant to say was that Todd Golden becomes the youngest coach to win a title since Jimmy V did it with NC State back in 1983 as a 37-year-old.
Well, that's not what this slug said. So I just basically Ron Burgundy'd it, and I read whatever was on my teleprompter.
You know, the slug, as we've explained and guess what they said, is what the soundbite is entitled in the system. And we have, what I've noticed is, had complaints. Who's working over there?
It's a combination of everybody. I actually don't know who put this one specifically in here, but this was in Hickey's folder, so Ryan Hickey will draw my ire tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Florida got the win. Still kind of hard to believe how that all went together. You know, I did listen to some of the stuff from Kelvin Sampson, and it's just like, it sucks. Because again, when you're in those kind of games, you don't want yourself to get to a point where you're assuming the victory. But you do get to a point where you imagine the victory. And it's like one of those things where you, like when you gamble. So sometimes I'll play these contests where it's like right away I'm winning $50,000 with my lineup, my $20 UFL lineup or Masters lineup or whatever. And then I don't win any money. I didn't lose $50,000, but it feels like I did, because for a moment I imagined what it would be like to have $50,000. Maybe then I could buy us some real seats at Wrigley, Carlos.
You said it, not me. And I will say this for housekeeping purposes. Valvano's not even the youngest coach to win it. That honor and distinction goes to Branch McCracken, who in 1940 led Indiana to a national title. He was 31 years old, 9 months and 21 days. So this slug is not only inaccurate by one, it's inaccurate by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 head coaches.
Wow.
There
wow.
are seven people younger than Todd Golden that have won a national championship. Everyone can kick rocks.
So this is garbage. Because I knew Golden was the youngest since Valvano. But then when I Googled it quick, it told me Valvano. But then when I click on this article, yeah, it says Branch McCracken.
Yeah, here's the
list.
That's
stupid.
Branch McCracken's the youngest. Harold Foster in 1941 for Wisconsin. Fred Taylor for Ohio State in 1960.
From the Jaguars?
But no, not Fred Taylor, the running back. There are people who can have the same names. Bob Knight, he was 35 in 76 when he took Indiana. Howard Hobson for Oregon in 1939. Don Haskins for UTEP in 66. And then the aforementioned Jim Valvano and Todd Golden. What an inaccurate cut by every measure of the world. I just want to punch somebody in the face. Here's Mark Cuban. Speaking of people who want to get punched in the face, Mark Cuban apparently doesn't like his new owners. He says the Mavericks' new ownership did not understand who Luka was before they traded him. This is courtesy of the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What the biggest mistake was in trying to understand Luka is he's from the Balkans, right? He's Slovenian, and you know, you look at Jokic, who's Serbian, and you look at Serbian players in general, they're just a different mindset. Right, they look at the game different. They look at life differently. They look at they're emotionally, you know, the guys that I've gotten to know from that region of the world are different. And I think that was what was not considered as fully as it should have been.
So many like what ifs or things that could have gone different where this doesn't happen. Like, what if Mark Cuban never lost big in crypto allegedly and they had to sell the team? Which has not been confirmed. It's just been the rumor. Although, who's not losing in anything right now? You're going to see a lot of teams getting sold next couple of days by the dip. I think that was a part of it. I think that was a part of it. You know, it didn't seem like they were willing to give him space to be Luka. And it's not like Luka, it's not like he was a bad person. It's not like he was doing anything wrong. They just didn't jive and it wasn't on the same page. And then Nico Harrison wanted one of his Nike buddies and now they're not even going to make the playoffs. What a disaster.
You know, what an absolute dunce. I mean, because even with all the supposed flaws.
Or are they making the 10? Are they making the 10?
They're like borderline. I'm actually.
They're making the 10.
Yeah, I got the standings right here. Yeah, they're slotted at 10. But it's still them and Phoenix. Because there's only four teams that has been eliminated.
Yeah, I meant the real playoffs, not the stupid playoffs.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, what a dunce. Because, again, even with the flaws, Luka was a top five, maybe a top three player in the league. They couldn't make that work. But doesn't make sense to me. All right, here's Deion Sanders. No surprise here. He's going to tell you who he thinks are the two best players in the upcoming NFL draft.
They should be going 1-2. That's the way I feel, and I'm going to stand by that. I think they're the two best players in this draft, tremendously. But we've already won. We came from an HBCU, man. We've already won. The game is over. The game has been fixed. We win. Now, once they get drafted, it's a race to the second contract in dominance.
Filling in the blanks, he was talking about Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that Shedeur is going to drop. I don't think he goes further than three. The Giants are taking him if he's there. That's where I'm at. But I think the Browns take him, even though everybody's trying to say that they're not. Shedeur Sanders, there may be questions. And there may be, like, even Deion questions. But there's been too many plays where I've seen from him where he's got an ability that you can't coach. And I think somebody's got to take him. If he starts to drop, that'll be really surprising to me. I don't think he's going to. Now, we can get into it a little bit later. The odds don't think he's going top three. But I still feel like people are going to come to their senses and take a quarterback and take Shedeur Sanders.
Well, one person that would agree with you is his offensive coordinator at Colorado. And that is former NFL head coach Pat Shurmur. He had stops with Cleveland. He had a stop with the New York Giants. I am interested to hear what he has to say here because I am not a Pat Shurmur fan. Here he is talking about Shedeur Sanders.
I think he's a little bit like Travis in a lot of ways. I mean, he's done a lot through his college career. He's helped reestablish winning at two different programs. He obviously was super productive for us. As a passer, he got us in the end zone a bunch of times. He helped us win 9 games this year. I'm obviously very biased because I got a chance to work with him the last 2 years and see him develop. But I think he's got such a bright future. I think any team that chooses him is going to be really happy with their choice.
So I mentioned the odds, and we will get into this probably tonight. Perhaps tomorrow. There's some Adam Schefter quotes that I want to play. And I know I make fun of Adam Schefter all the time, but he does provide content, so I'm not going to, like, you know, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. Cam Ward's odds, 1 to 200. Not 200 to 1, 1 to 200. So that's like if you bet $200 on Cam Ward going number one and he does, you get like a nickel. Then at number two, Travis Hunter is the favorite right now to Cleveland, and then Abdul Carter, and then Shadur's 10 to 1. And then at number three, Abdul Carter is the favorite, then Travis Hunter, and Shedeur is 4 to 1. So Vegas, which I don't even know, can we still call it Vegas? There's sportbooks all over the place, but Vegas, for lack of a better term, thinks it's going to go Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. I still feel like Shedeur Sanders gets in the top three, Jackson Dart to the Steelers, and somebody trades back in. I'm going with four quarterbacks in round one. That's my hot take for the NFL draft. Want to get more into that? I've got a gripe with the... Where did Ovechkin play the other day? Was that in New Jersey or the Islanders?
Yes.
Whoever Ovechkin played against and scored the record against, I got a gripe with that team.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.